Tonight's episode is brought to you by the Be Real Podcast Network. For more episodes like this, go to BREELnetwork.com. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to another awesome episode of Movie Guys Podcast. I am Jordan along here with Eric and Ed, and we have a little bit of a special episode for everybody tonight. We're going to talk about the top 10 box office bombs of 2017. I know we're excited to talk about this one because we've seen some of these on this list. But Eric, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm good, man. Everything has just been, it's been cold because we got dumped out of the snow. Ed, how about you?
Well, I was okay until all the snow fell this afternoon, and I realized I have to go into work tomorrow, wish all the snow off all 200 cars.
Do you guys get anyone knocking on your door to shovel the snow?
No, and
is
if
that,
they
is
did,
that like an awkward question? Like,
yeah, that is definitely not something. There's no entrepreneurship in the area in which I live.
I'm sitting here and I'm on the computer and I'm playing a game, okay? And like I'm in the middle of the game and it's I'm playing Warhammer, right? And live, I'm in it, boy. Let me tell you, okay? High action, headphones on, knock at the door. The door's right behind me. I'm playing in the front room, so you know, knock at the door behind me. I'm like, what the hell is this? I can see the guy out there with the shovel, and it's just like, dude, I hope you could see me. The window's open. I'm in the middle of the game right now. I ain't coming to the door, but I appreciate what you're doing all the same. Good luck to you. And that's when I realized I need to get no soliciting sign.
There you go.
They don't listen to that. You know they don't listen to that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they parked in front of my house once.
Did they really?
Yeah, that was unusual because I get to hear what they were saying to their kids.
You crazy kids and bee bee bee.
Meanwhile, they're knocking on your door and you're fapping and playing video games at the same time.
I thought about it.
Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy.
Well,
be that guy.
Be the one. We don't want him to be one of the 272 people that you get to hang out with for eternity.
I don't want to be a creep, but at the same time, as I'm thinking to myself, oh, don't be a creep, don't be a creep, I find myself just like standing in front of the door waiting for that.
That's funny.
Just like waiting for the knock and just like, oh, you know, don't be a creep, man. Oh, God. Anyway, what are we talking about today?
Well, tonight we're going to talk about the biggest box office bombs of 2017. And like I said before, we have talked about some of these movies on this list. So for you guys that are listening, we know that it's not quite January yet, but boy, this list has come out, and it is interesting. We'll just start off with number 10 right off the bat. And what we're going to do here, folks, is I'm going to read off the movies. I'm going to tell you how much money they made and how much the actual budget was. We're going to go from top 10 all the way down to number 1. And we're going to give our opinions about those movies if we've seen them or not.
Yeah, already.
So number 10 is a Will Ferrell and Amy Fuller movie that just came out a few months ago, The House.
The House
had a budget of $40 million and it grossed $25.5
million. Sure.
Will Ferrell was on a death. He's
70% of Rotten Tomatoes and 5.6 IMDb as it stands right now. If anyone cares about those ratings, but that's what they're at. I mean, this was comedies now are predictable and they seem to be quite the paycheck movie. You know, like it just seems like they're just quick gags. Almost like, kind of like that junior high quality of movie, you know, I'm 14 and this is funny.
Yes, but see, the problem is that there's some good, Will Ferrell movies that are absolutely shit, but, my God, they're better. Like, for example, I love Daddy's Home. I think that's hilarious. Haven't seen the sequel, but it's like, you know, anything that he does, I see. I've not got a chance to see this one yet. But I heard that this is as bad as what was it? The one with Adam Sandler that everybody hated, Jack and Jill.
Yeah. I mean,
it makes sense. It makes sense. Like this movie, like I watched. I remember seeing the previews and thought, "Dear God, I hope we don't put this one on the calendar. This looks ridiculous," and not in the good, and not in the good way.
Yeah, you know what's a weird thing about comedy and how it works. Not to get too much of a tangent on one movie, and we'll talk about it later on. Obviously, is that like it only works with the players that are in it, and when I'm not to say that they're tired. It's just that people kind of have grown to know their range of character that they can play. A lot of these, you know, like Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler and whoever else is going to be in that movie, who's, you know, whoever's hot right now. And the movie's only as good as the characters. And if you have a unique cast, then you're going to have, you know, a funnier show or a funnier movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think about that.
No, yeah, definitely. It's just a damn shame because I do really like Will Ferrell. I mean, I was getting done watching Telegate and Ice before we recorded the show. I mean, before we recorded the show, I can't talk. But so, number nine is a movie that I had no interest in seeing that you guys had no interest seeing, and I guess this is the third movie. But this is Diary of a Wimpy Kid: The Long Haul. It had a budget of $22 million, and it grossed $20.7 million.
That was the third movie in the series, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, you know, yeah, you got three movies. Fucking, I don't see. That's good enough, I'd say.
I get the feeling it will be the last of the movies. I didn't see any of them. I mean, I remember reading, like, the books as a kid, but, like, I mean, it didn't really lose that much money. You know, it only lost just over $1 million, according to the math we're using.
Yeah, but like, still, though, it's bad.
It's bad. It's like a movie that nobody gave a shit about. Like, I get that. I'm sure the first two grossed a ton of money. That's why they made the third one. That's why Hollywood does anything. You know, it just feels like, you know, that definitely was not needed. Not needed whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
That's why nobody went and saw it.
Well, nobody. Well, actually, when did that come out? Do we know when that came out here? Because I want to know what it competed with.
Springtime, maybe, kind of. Like around, like a school break, like a spring break or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I was just curious because, I mean, if it came across a movie like Deadpool or something like that. You know, of course nobody wanted to go see that movie.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? If it was competing with something, yeah, for sure.
Oh, okay, I got it right here. Let's see. The movie came out. Okay, well, I'm doing this on the show. I should have done my research on this. it came out in August of this year.
Oh, geez. So, summer then.
Yeah, it came out in summer. It competed with some big movies this year.
I was
going
to say, it might be, you know, something where, obviously, its demographic would be more available to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Number eight is a movie that I have not seen, that I had no interest in seeing, that I will never see.
Okay.
It's one of those movies where it's like, you have to pay me to see this. I will not see this out of enjoyment. And that is Chips.
Oh, Chips with Dax Shepard.
Yes, with a budget of $25 million and grossed $18.6
million. Oh, bummer. So Dax's movie bombed. He directed it.
Oh, really? He directed it too?
Yeah, he directed it, and it had like... and he wrote it too. Yeah, he's writer and director.
Wow.
Michael Pena's in it. Dax Shepard, Vincent D'Onofrio's in it, right? I mean, solid cast. I'm sure that this... You know what? I hope a movie like this will find new life on the shelf, you know?
Maybe, well, because I'm going to classify this as a Starsky and Hutch movie. You know what I mean?
Well, that's definitely what it is. And I think just, like, people are kind of over a lot of the old sticks that were, you know. And a buddy comedy is just seems to be... But, you know, we haven't gotten a good buddy comedy in a while, man.
That's true.
You know, I mean,
and the thing is, like,
are Wahlberg Trail trying to do it?
It's Dax. Maybe. What the hell is that show on Netflix with the two guys from that 70s show?
The like Ranch?
The Ranch.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. I kind of dig that show.
Well, not anymore. You, Danny Matheson is...
Well, Well, because... that's because he's he's a creep.
Yeah.
Oh, did he really?
He's a movie like Chips to me. Wait, we're talking about the...
We're not talking about it at all. Please move on.
A movie like Chips to me is one of those things that, like... There's obvious reasons why nobody gave a shit. Anybody who gave a shit about Chips lives in their 90-year-old parents' attic. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not... It just wasn't a funny show back in the day. It's iconic to a certain degree. But, like, it wasn't... Nobody really, really, really gave a shit about it 30 years ago, 35 years ago. And to rehash it with two people that have never worked together, that are supporting actors at best, now they're trying to be lead roles in something that nobody cared about. It's just, that's legitimately exactly why nobody went through.
It was a date movie. Like, it was a date movie. That's obviously what
it's a Netflix is. It's a Netflix and chill movie. What's on the background while you're trying to get down your new girlfriend's pants?
There. Boom. That's nice. This review brought to you by Movie Guys Podcast.
Right there. Jeez. Number 7 is a movie that I have not seen, but this movie bombed really bad at the box office, but it has an 89% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. But this movie is called Only the Brave, starring Josh Brolin.
Okay.
The budget was $38 million, and it grossed $17.89 million. And it's about a group of firefighters, true story of them... saving things, saving families and stuff on this mountain.
Yeah, and there's
here's the thing about this movie. I just really want to point this out. This movie is legitimately Smoke Jumpers from the TV show Entourage. That's another reason why nobody gave a shit. Somebody made a movie about a shitty movie from a great TV show.
Wow. Okay.
That's kind of what I thought Miles Teller was in that. He plays,
Yeah, you have Josh Brolin in it, who's like the tough guy, sort of the actor who, even though now he's been in a bunch of stuff, but maybe at the time needed to revamp his career a little bit. Just like the guy that ended up getting the barbecue sauce on Turtle's back or Drama's back, and stealing all the lines from Adrian Grenier or whatever the fuck his name was in the show. Miles Turner's in it, you know what I mean? So it's they're all, and they have like a, they have a, the guy's got a German name who directed it. it's Smoke Jumpers. It's Smoke Jumpers.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, well, I do not agree with this one. It's the truth. There's no way I can't disagree with it, but I really enjoy this movie. Number 6. On this list is Mother, starring Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem, with a budget of $30 million and grossed $17.80 million.
Ooh, it took a hit. Oh no. Well, I ain't good.
That's terrible because that movie was legitimately good. I can't wait for it to come on Blu-ray because I'm on.
Well, there ain't no Black Swan, I can tell you that. He probably shouldn't have said. And if he had not said what it was about, then I may have gotten a lot more buzz.
You think so?
Well, because people like a talking point of the movie, you know, like something to be like, oh, hey, well, what did you, there's a little bit of fire to it. Yeah, mm-hmm. It may have helped. It may have not helped much, but mm-hmm. Fuck, maybe have... giving you like another $3 million, so
probably because this is his. I mean, like Aronofsky's films don't really do that well in the box office anyway.
He's had luck with what, The Wrestler and Black Swan.
Wrestler still wasn't.
The Wrestler was an incredible movie.
Well, it was an incredible movie, but I mean, I don't think The Wrestler did really that well in the box office itself. I mean, like. It's just crazy because he's a great director, but a lot of his films just don't get the recognition that they deserve.
Well,
here's the thing. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say if it gets nominated, then it might make, you know, it might make its money back.
Because here, for an example, The Wrestler only made $26 million.
Nominees tend to to stay. They tend to go up and make a few more bucks.
Yeah. So I just want to make this point about a movie like this, and it's going to be. I'm going to use it for another movie on this list that we're going to get to in a couple of movies here. A movie like Mother, people don't get it. So most movies, I'd say not all, but the vast majority of movies, with the exception, you know what, I'll say all movies make money when you go to see it more than once, right? So like the movie, you know, like next week, Star Wars is coming out. It's going to break every record in the first week. We know it's going to. And then people are going to go see it five times. So it's going to quadruple that in a month, right?
Yep.
A movie like Mother, nobody fucking got it, right? So people like us that go see movies like these, they say, we'll see it once, and then that's it. And nobody else besides people like us went to see this movie.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, look, I'm looking at Darren Aronofsky's box office here, and he has three movies that went over. I'm sorry, he had two movies that went over $100 million. So, I mean, he did good. I mean, he had Noah and Black Swan. But it's just, he had a great cast in this movie. You would think that a movie starring Jennifer Lawrence would have gotten him, you know, at least $20 million. But anyway, that's the way it is. Number five is a movie that, again, I will not see because it's like, why did you do this? This movie is the remake of the late 80s, early 90s Kevin Bacon classic, Flatliners.
What?
Had a budget of $19 million and only grossed $16
million. That was a movie?
I'm actually surprised it made that much. Yeah, bro, it was a fucking... I remember seeing the advertisement. It was a horror movie about people dying and coming back to life and then seeing shit. Like, why would you want to kill yourself and then make a fucking movie about it? Nobody cared.
This was actually a movie? Ellen Page was in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Juno wanted to kill herself and come back to life.
What the hell? Five medical students obsessed by what lies beyond the confines of life. Yes. Yep. Embark on a daring experiment by stopping their hearts for short periods. Each triggers a near-death experience, giving them a first-hand account of the afterlife. Well,
why would that be a movie? Previews even suck.
You guys didn't see the original? The one with Kevin Bacon?
Oh, yeah, man.
I didn't see that movie for the same reason I didn't see this movie. It doesn't, like, it's stupid.
I'm not a fan of remakes. To be honest with you, I mean, sometimes they work. I've not seen this one, but I don't know if I need to. Like, I don't know. I didn't like Flatliners to Kevin Bacon one. if I'm being honest, it's just kind of like, a lot of people are just, oh, that's a classic. Yeah, I mean, classics can be bad, too.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, well, number four is Lisa. There's another movie here, number four, that I never even heard of, and it's starring the horrible Katherine Heigl, but it's called Unforgettable, just like how this movie
mouth.
Is.
Shut your whore mouth.
She's terrible. Movie. It had a budget of $12 million, and it only grossed $11
million. Oh, poor Katherine Heigl. She's going to try to... Is this Rosario Dawson, too? What is this? Is this a cheat movie? Is this... A woman sets out to make life a living hell for her ex-husband's new fiance. Okay, so Katherine Heigl plays crazy bitch to Rosario Dawson. Oh, okay. Okay. We've seen this movie before. This is what was the Beyonce movie? What was the other one?
Lemonade.
What the hell? Oh man, they've done this before. Like this is like other these other revenge movies. I'm so sure.
Wait a minute. Wouldn't this be that Tommy Lee Jones movie where she was accused of murdering her husband, but he faked his death?
Double Jeopardy.
Yes. Would you say it's a borderline like that?
Like,
a little bit.
Unforgettable. Oh, I just know. No, I don't know. I wouldn't say it like that. No, I'd say what the hell is Deep Beyond saying? You're making me go beyond my code now, and now I have to Google Beyonce.
Oh my god!
Oh, the single lady.
Why am I lying to you? They're all purple links, everyone.
And the movie you're thinking of was Obsessed, by the way.
Obsessed? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yep, that was the movie.
Okay, what year did that one come out?
Like, 2009.
What the hell? Actress. All these say Beyonce. Okay.
Yeah, those are probably her music videos. Those are all on IMDb.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, like, Obsessed is one like this, and then, with Hal Berry, here we go, No Good Deed, The Roommate, I'm Jealous, Prom, yeah, all these, The Perfect Guy, The Stepfather, so, yeah a lot of these, a lot of these types of movies where, yeah,
the
anyway.
I think the one saving grace of Beyonce's acting career is going to be The Lion King, because she's Nala.
That'd be exciting, but these movies are just kind of like, again, we're at a point where we see them time and time again, and I think they're just being recasted by modern stars, and I think people are starting to get kind of tired of it a bit more.
Oh, I agree with you, especially number three on our list. Thank You for Your Service, with a budget of $20 million and only grossed $9.4
million. Yeah, this was the movie I was talking about. Like, this movie was not advertised as it was. I saw the movie. This movie's about PTSD. Like, hands down, like, you ever watch, like, Requiem for a Dream, and while you're watching it, you feel like you're high?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Thank You for Your Service was well done to the point to where you're watching it, and you're actually feeling the agony that dude feels. Like, legit. But when it was advertised, it was advertised as like a dude who gets out of the military and goes and helps other military dudes. You know what I mean? That's not what this movie was.
Well, that's not rough. At all. So you've seen this one? This is the second Miles Teller movie, by the way, on the list.
That does not bode well for him next year.
Oh man, he was also in Fantastic Four, so maybe we'll get a Razzie out of him. But he was also in Whiplash, and Whiplash was an amazing movie.
And he was also in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying the movie was good, but like, you know, the guy who like wrote the movie, he writes a bunch of military movies. Like he wrote American Sniper, the movie.
Oh, okay.
So he's just
gushing with patriotism.
Yeah, and
he's
like,
got so much patriotism that I just have to write books about it.
Well, and he directed this movie.
It's not an insult.
The only movies
thank
ever
you,
directed. You could,
for your books. Thank you for your service. Your your books. Your literary service.
Yeah, you could definitely tell. Like, this movie was a dude. Like, it's his first. It's the first time he's ever directed a movie. You could for sure tell.
Hallmark director. Go ahead.
What's that?
And then just Hallmark director.
Well, no, he's legitimately never directed anything. Like, I wanted to confirm that with myself as I was, as I was remembering it. And yeah, I looked it up. Like, this is like the fourth movie he's ever written. And then he couldn't get it off the ground, probably, so he directed it.
Well,
you know, and he you know,
Amy Schumer's also in it, so that's another.
That's another reason why it sucks.
Yep.
God, I hate
that. Oh, well.
Well, man, I'm sorry, man, but her stock kind of fell. It's just kind of the way it is. Number two is a movie that we were going to review. Number two was a movie that was on our schedule for a month. We were excited to review it. For whatever reason, we never did. But it is number two is A Cure for Wellness with a budget of $40 million.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
This is a scary one, right?
Yes, it is. This has a budget of $40 million, and it only grossed $8 million.
Since 2016.
I was not a fan of the movie when we were talking about going to see it, and I just didn't care about the movie, so that's probably what everybody else was thinking too.
I mean, I don't know. I'm still curious to see it.
It's really good. The ending is flat out ridiculous. That is not at all where you thought the movie was going to go. Because you're just like, really? Seriously, this is happening?
Wow, it was rough, man. 40 yeah. million and it's like 8 million.
Right.
Big loss.
That's huge. And like the thing is like the guy who directed it, like he did like Pirates of the Caribbean. He did, well, maybe that, now it makes sense, Lone Ranger and Rango. He did At World's End and Dead Man's Chest and Curse of the Black Pearl.
Wow.
Fucking movie of all time, The Ring.
The Ring?
Well, yeah. Shout out The Ring. Well, I mean, that one he at least had to, he could model it after Ringu.
Yeah.
I get. Well, all right, so number one. I want to know, excuse me, I want to know, Ed, what is your guess for the worst box office bomb of the year?
I already know the answer, so be going to me for this, it's not fair. I already know the answer.
Well, just humor me. What do you think it is?
Suburbicon?
Okay, you think it's Suburbicon. Eric, what do you think it is?
Oh, it's a good guess. Oh, it's a good guess. I hope it is now.
Well, let me put it this way. I know that that movie had a budget of like 25, 30 million and it made 5.
That can't
yes.
be.
Yes. Suburbicon is the worst box office bomb of the year.
Nice.
It had a budget of $25 million, and it grossed $5.7 million.
Yeah, yeah. That movie made me rethink my decision about doing this fucking podcast. Jesus.
We reviewed that, too, yes.
I mean, yeah. You would think, like, because George Clooney's fucking awesome, right? And he's actually, like, I've seen other movies he's directed, like The Monuments Men, was not that good. But The Ides of March was really fucking good. Good Night and Good Luck was great.
Mm-hmm.
This was obviously a little bit downhill for him. But it's got Matt Damon in it, Julianne Moore, Poe Dameron's in it. So, like, you would think it'd be good, but it just...
Oscar Isaac. I mean, it's got... Like, a good acting. I don't know. They like their dark comedies, man. Like they like their dark comedies.
Yeah. Like fucking what? Thank you for Burn After Reading.
Yeah.
Like Burn After Reading. That was one of those things. I never got a joke in that movie. Fargo. And everybody's like, "Oh, this is so great. This is so awesome." I like Fargo though. I'm okay with Fargo. I'm okay with like dark humor like that.
You know what's really funny, guys?
But, like, there's no comedy in this movie. Like, there's an attempt at it, but it's just not there.
If in the next year or two, there's another Coen Brothers written movie, produced movie, or whatever Coen Brothers, they will get the first ever Movie Guys podcast golden microphone because we reviewed two movies of theirs since Movie Guys podcast has started, and we have given it terrible reviews. The first one being Hail Caesar.
Goddamn Hail Caesar.
Oh, horrible, horrible.
So, Coen Brothers, if you're listening, make another shitty movie and you'll get a golden microphone.
Shouldn't it be like a bronze shit-colored microphone?
No, literally I'm going to get a piece. No, yeah. It's just going to be like a $5 microphone and I'm going to go to this local hardware store and get fake gold paint.
And then we can mail it to him. Can we please mail it to him?
That'd be great. So that could be a golden microphone.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But you know what though? I'm surprised because there's a lot of movies that came out this year that's just been shit that's on this list. That's kind of the last thing I wanted to talk to you guys about. I mean, Baywatch was absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
But it made it
funny. Did you expect anything?
It had The Rock, and The Rock makes money. Zac Efron makes money, boy.
Yeah, Zac Efron, man. I mean, like, have you seen Neighbors and Neighbors 2? Those are fun movies.
Those are fun movies.
I thought that King Kong was going to be on this list because that movie did not do well, and it's also terrible. And
that's true.
You know what I mean? I was shocked. I was just shocked. And there's just been a lot of shitty movies. Like, what else was really bad? Like, the Annabelle prequel.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I thought that would be on, but it wasn't.
What the hell movie did we watch where an old lady ate a baby?
Where an old lady ate a baby.
In a cave.
You're talking about The Witch.
Was that it? Or was it... Like, you remember, like, she was eating a baby, like, real slow. And he wasn't a baby. He was, like, maybe 5 years old. It was a girl.
It was called The Witch.
Was that it? Okay, that movie was fucking terrible.
We never reviewed it.
Oh, well, wait a minute, is that a movie, did I just fuck up? Is that a movie, like, we had one of the guys on, and then...
No.
Like, we had... Because I have done
it. I was like, I don't remember that movie, yeah.
Ed is freaking out, everybody. Ed has lost the building. But
no, but there was one time when we first started, for all the listeners that don't necessarily know, we reviewed a movie because we got offered to review the movie by the director, and then we were going to interview the director, but we couldn't get a hold of him, and so we rewatched the movie, and then we're going to do a separate interview, and we legitimately shat all over the movie because it really did suck. And then he refused to come on the show after that.
Yeah, that happened.
That happened.
That was our first episode. But yeah. We hope everybody that's listening, this is not your last episode, because we have many more coming. It's going to be 2018 here in just in a few weeks. And just in a few episodes from now, we'll be doing our second year anniversary show. 2 years of Movie Guys Podcast, 2 years of listening to myself and Eric and Ed. I can't believe we've gone on for 2 years. We got 3 more years left, and then we got our 5-year hump, right?
Yeah.
We got to get over that 5-year hump. But there's going to be some new changes coming for Movie Guys Podcast starting in January. No, we're not going to spoil that right now for you guys. You guys just have to keep on downloading and just listen for these awesome changes we're going to be doing. But we're going to be doing so many more movies for 2018. Our schedule is going to be the biggest it has ever been before. If you guys ever got a chance to listen to an episode 3 weeks ago, it was our 75th episode. I'm trying to remember what that was, but you guys can check that one out. But if you like this episode, check us out at movieguyspodcast.com. On iTunes, search Movie Guys Podcast. And on Podbean, one of our main sites, which is movieguyspodcast.podbean.com. And check us out on Twitter, which is at movieguyspod. But Eric, thank you so much for joining me. And Ed, same as you, thank you. And we'll be back next week. We never spoil it, but we are doing it this time. Next week, we're coming back with Star Wars The Last Jedi.